Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show, An Earful in the Emerald City. I am Shoddy.
I am Slim.
Welcome to the program, everyone. And today, we got a lot to cover. We're going to talk about the Iowa caucus, how Kennewick's Clippard wants to ban the gay pride flag, and a local company's employees got fired over text message.
That's a burn right there.
Over text message.
That's a deep burn,
man. But first, you know how we kick off the show.
Is it that time?
Yes, it's that time
for a little rewind. You fucking love that shit, you son of a bitch. Yeah. You love it.
Yes, I do.
What was up with you, man? What'd you get into this weekend?
For the first time, I went to Georgetown, the South Side.
Georgetown? The South Side. The college?
No. Georgetown neighborhood to go drink. I went to this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went to a 6 Pound bar. I went with some coworkers. I've been to some dive bars, but this is like the dive bars of dive bars.
That was dive deep down?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nice little spot, and they had some bomb ass onion rings.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I they got the Georgetown Brewery down there where they make one of my favorites, which is Manny's. But to be honest, I don't really even know what the hell goes on down in that area.
Well, you should.
Besides a gratuitous amount of homeless activity, but
yeah,
that's neither here nor there. Good little spot though.
Yeah, it was a nice little spot. Got drunk, drove home drunk.
Oh, God, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, man, it's like a roller coaster.
Jesus Christ. You're actually, as much as I hate giving you credit for anything, I gotta give you credit. You definitely handle your booze well. We get into it a little bit here sometimes and get it going for the podcast, and you walk out that door and you seem like you're good to go, so I don't know, but...
Well, Texas taught me that. If there was a few things that Texas taught me before I left the state, it's how to handle your fucking booze.
and drive home without getting in trouble.
Well, Texas is like the king of DWIs and DUIs because they don't have anything else good to do there besides, bust people's chops and ruin people's lives.
Yeah, you got a lot of drinkers down there too, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
I'm
sure those boys. I was pretty surprised to see how big Washington was a drinking state compared to Texas. And someone told me how that, like, Texas was like the rowdy and non-sophisticated drinkers, and Washington was the classy pinky up.
Always, man.
This is wine country. Like I mean, Texas doesn't give a shit about wines except if you ever go to the Hill Country, which consists of Austin, Wimberley, Kyle, you'll find the best wine in Texas there. But the whole state of Washington, they specialize in wine.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We like that wine out there. There's something about an erect pinky when people are drinking. That shit just cracks me up, man. I don't know
why
what is going. It's like it's almost
fucking classy.
It almost seems like it's uncontrollable for the people that are doing it. I think it's usually a girl thing, but hey, I've caught myself many times doing it. But it's like that little fucking finger has a mind of its own. You can't control it. But yeah, they keep it classy though, especially when they're drinking that wine.
Well, when I used to smoke blunts, I used to have my pinky up.
Well, you usually go on two fingers though, aren't you? So yeah, just a little pincher.
I used to be like, whoop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I used to smoke blunts the classy way.
With the pinky, interesting.
With the pinky up.
That's interesting. I'll have to keep that in mind next time I'm rolling a swisher. You know.
Yeah.
When I want to keep it classy as shit. Nice. Well, so you were hanging out with some coworkers down in the G-town,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, some coworkers / buddies. They always have a good time, and I know I invited you to a party that one of them is throwing.
Oh, yeah.
Next week we're gonna get down and crash that party and do it. Oh. Earful in the Emerald City style.
Oh shit! Yeah, so hopefully we'll get some material out of it then.
Yeah,
that should be fun. You seem to like your coworkers, man. Are they good people? Are they big on the drinking or?
Yeah, I mean they're all outgoing. Some just go to work and go home, but the majority of them, they all go out and hang out with each other after work. So. And I get in there and I try to socialize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Socializing is good. Yes, it is. Yeah, I haven't been working too much lately, but I've been having to get myself out of this fucking house just to stay connected, man. I even did some research on the leading causes of dementia. This is how much extra time I've had on my hands, people. And one of the main causes is one of the top three is not staying connected. So that being said, I don't know how my mom is not batshit crazy. All right.
What?
Because she sits in her fucking house day in, day out, doesn't really talk to anybody. And besides me, you know, when I come by or give her a call. And but she's still all up there in the brain, at least. You know, everything else is fading, but keeping it together, so that's good. But what happened with me though? I had a big weekend for myself here.
Yeah, you had a better weekend than me. You got out of Seattle and you got out I got in some snow.
I got the fuck out of Dodge, man. I got a buddy, good buddy of mine. His folks got a cabin up in Easton, Washington, and for those of you who don't get over the pass too often, Easton is slightly east-un. I had to. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. Of Snoqualmie Pass. It's about 10, 15 minutes past the pass. Oh, Jesus. I did it twice in a row there. I got to stop. But we went up there. We usually try to get like a winter trip going. You know, there's snow up there. He's got a couple snowmobiles. So we buzz around on those things. And he's got a real isolated cabin. So we got up there, did some snow camping. And I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. These guys, I don't want to call them hicks or hillbillies or rednecks, you know, but they got those tendencies in them. So they get out there and they bring all the fucking booze. I think we had a half gallon and a fifth of Jameson, Fireball, woo, some vodka. I mean, just all the shit that you can think of. A keg of vitamin R too, you know, because it wouldn't be a weekend without that. But we got up there and had some good times. Those guys, they like fucking shooting their guns and shit. And you know, I'm a little bit of a liberal hippie, I guess. For those of you who haven't picked up on it already. But, and I don't have a problem with guns per se, you know, but these guys are just flashing them around all fucking willy-nilly. I'm pretty sure I had a gun accidentally pointed at me three times this fucking weekend, you know, three times.
Did they call their gun a toy?
No.
Or my baby?
No.
They have a nickname for their gun?
No. No, no nicknames. You know, they're pretty serious about it, to be honest.
Okay, well, that's good.
Not serious about the safety aspect of it. Definitely serious about all the other aspects. No, it's just like, and I don't want to be that pussy that's like, hey, man, you know, can you maybe not aim that loaded gun at me?
Fuck that. Because all it takes is this one slip, one accident, and psh, you got a bullet in your fucking body.
Well, exactly.
There's nothing about being a pussy about that. Seriously.
I know, but it's just one of those things you're just like, God, should I say something?
Speak up, Slim.
I know, but I mean, what, you know, hey, nothing happened, I guess. But, yeah.
It takes is just one slip, and...
Believe me, I fucking know, man. I know, and it's fun, I'm not going to lie. You know, I squeezed off a couple rounds, you know, killed a couple theoretical terrorists, you know, out there in the woods. But yeah, it's just they're just a little bit too willy-nilly. I actually passed out the first night. It was so weird, dude. It was so weird. I probably drank at least 8 or 9 beers, had about 5, maybe 6 shots. Okay, I wasn't keeping an exact tap going, but I couldn't get drunk. I don't know if it's the mountain air, you know. We were a little bit up there, probably the 2,000, 2,500 feet up, but I just couldn't get drunk. And then all of a sudden, you know, after fucking a handful of shots, I just passed out. I just fucking passed out. I was the first one gone. So, you know, the next morning I get shit from everybody. Oh, hey, Mr. I couldn't even make it to midnight. All this shit, you know. But I guess they went out shooting, too, that night. You know, they waited till they got super drunk. And then they went off to squeeze some rounds off for the first time, you know, which, again, another great idea by these guys. Good old high school buddies of mine. But they were squeezing off some rounds. There was a fight with a couple of the chicks. One of the girls, there was a couple of girls. I thought it was going to be a guys' weekend. You know, that's why I was like super excited, because, you know, when you get the guys together, especially these guys that have been in relationships for 4 or 5, a couple of them maybe even been in for 7 or 8 years, all bets are off once you get all of them together and there's no girlfriends around, you know. All bets are off.
Oh, I know.
I mean, we're not going to order a fucking hooker, okay? Unless her pimp drives a fucking snowplow, there's no way he's getting in there, all right? Because it's like a 2-mile trek on a gravel road just to get back to the house. But all bets are off if you get them without the girlfriends. Unfortunately, we had girlfriends weekend, and what happens? Oh, there's a fucking cat fight. The first night we're there.
Why was there a fight?
I'm not going to name any names.
Okay? No, you don't need. We're not going to expose anybody like that. Names, but why was there a fight?
One of these girl, actually, wife. It was a wife. Oh, it was a wife.
What?
It was a wife.
A wife came to the trip.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to say it was a girlfriend because I don't want to get too specific here. Okay. One of these ladies accused the other one of trying to fuck her boyfriend.
Oh my god.
And yeah, and the shit just, it's almost like there had to be some kind of conflict, you know. It's almost like things were going too smoothly for the first night and then something had to happen. I don't know, but it was, I mean, this chick, she's fucking loco, all right? As Cypress Hill would say, she is insane in the membrane. But they got into it, and then, I don't know, it got fucking heated. She was going to leave the next day, blah, 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 all this. They talked it out. They had a chat, this and that. And it's just, I mean, you get that many people together, you're isolated in a fucking cabin in the wilderness, and somebody's going to lose their shit a little bit. And I hate to say it, but usually it's a girl a lot of the time.
Whoa. Depending on who you're with. Let's not be sexist. No, don't, no. Do not be a sexist.
Well,
guys can lose their shit too.
Oh, they can. But the guys,
you would have lost your shit if you would have got shot accidentally.
And I was just about to say, the guys do the stupid shit.
Yeah.
Okay. The guys do the stupid shit.
That's why women live longer than us.
the guys do the stupid shit, and the girls get crazy. All right. And that's how it went. I got a little crazy the first night. Again, I passed out early, so surprisingly, I missed the whole fucking thing. I didn't hear them blowing off shotgun rounds. I didn't hear them fucking talking about, bitch, you fucking whore, this and that, all that stuff. But, you know, besides the little drama, still a good weekend, though. There's still a good weekend. There's something about being out there when there's no electricity. They don't have electricity that runs off propane. But there's something about being out there in the wilderness when it's just all you have to do is just survive, that you just forget about everything else.
Sounds like you had to survive that cat fight and some guns.
Well, luckily I was asleep in a safe area, but Yeah, no, it was, it's nice though, man. It's nice not having to worry about fucking Facebook, having to worry about, you know, getting to work or dealing with traffic or all that bullshit, you know. It's just eat food and fucking enjoy yourself. That's all we do, you know. I was the fire keeper, so I was tending the fire indoors and out, and yeah, I don't know. It's nice to disconnect from the world sometimes, you know, and just fucking, like I said, get out there. It's snow around everywhere. There's nobody around in sight. I mean, there was a few snowmobilers hitting the trails. We could hear them driving around and stuff, and they were doing a little bit of shooting too, but yeah, no, it was a fun weekend being out there trapped in the wilderness. So hopefully, if not at some point later this year, hopefully sometime next year, we'll definitely get another trip going. So that was fun though. I mean, it's always good to get out, you know, and do something different. So, and plus a fucking keg. I missed the keg stand round too, actually, the first night.
What was it a keg of?
Rainier, the old Vitamin R. Woo. Kept it nice and cheap. A fucking keg of Rainier, dude, is $110 these days. $110. That is craziness to me. I mean, if it's not chilled to the exact right temperature, that shit is fucking awful. Okay, I'm sorry for all you guys, local folks who love popping the gold tops. Okay, I respect a good Rainier when it's nice and cold, but if that shit is not cold, it's fucking terrible. But the beauty of the weather we were in, you know, most of the time it's mid to upper 30s at most. I think we got there and it was 38 degrees in the middle of the day, and so all you got to do is just leave the fucking keg outside and it's perfect drinkable temperature the entire time. So that, luckily that wasn't an issue for us, but yeah, no, good times. I mean, again, it's getting out is fucking nice. And he had the snowmobile. We didn't get on it too much, but you know, it's kind of fun fucking tearing that shit up, you know, he's cruising around, you're bending on the turns, doing all that kind of shit. You're getting a little air off these little jumps here and there. So good stuff indeed. But, yeah, that was the weekend there. But now we're on to a pretty big week here.
Yes, we are.
Pretty big week.
Yes, we are. And, you know, we're recording on Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog's Day.
Good, yes. February 2nd, 2016 is when we're recording. And this is actually
Tony Phil.
Yes, and this is actually the 16th time that I'm recording this episode, because this day has repeated for me 16 times already. Sorry, I'm making a cheap ass Bill Murray reference, man. Groundhog Day.
Fucking, that's a great movie, man.
Phil Connors.
What would you do if your life was just the same day over and over again? What would you do? What's the one thing that
you would do? Well, if I was in Seattle, I could. Man, that's a great question. If my day kept on repeating until I got it down, I would probably help the homeless out. I would do a little every day. I would help the homeless out. I would punch my boss. I don't like my boss.
Nice. That would be nice.
I would punch my boss. Because, yeah, hey, you get arrested, but the next day you're out of there. You're back in your bed and you're getting waken up to, I got you, babe. I got you. And put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we could climb, babe.
Knowing your luck, though, you would punch your boss and then you'd fucking wake up the next morning and you'd be in jail again. You wouldn't wake up in your fucking bed. You'd be like, God damn it. This is the 87th day in a row, and I picked the one day to fucking knock my boss out. I know, dude. I would break every law imaginable. All right. What? Every single law imaginable. I don't know. I'd get involved in like a high speed chase on the fucking freeway, dude. Are you kidding me?
On I-5, where it's usually backed up.
Yeah, that's, well, I,
whoa, whoa,
yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Not on I-5, but I mean, you can get in a high speed chase anywhere here, but if you get on a high speed chase on I-405, then you're screwed.
Oh my God.
You are screwed.
The only way you're going to evade the cops is if you're paying the toll fee, that's, you know, the $10 toll fee. that's the only way you'd get out of that shit. But yeah, no, that's what I did. I mean, I always thought about that when I was a kid. Like, how nice would it be to just, like, yeah, just fucking just tear it up out there. I'd be speeding, driving recklessly, acting like a goddamn maniac. And then if you just, like, had some button you could push, you know, and then boop, and it just takes you back to before you started committing that crime of yours. Like, oh man, I used to fantasize about that shit all the time, you know. Like, I don't know if
you're a sick motherfucker.
Well, I was you know, I was gonna say, I don't know if I'd, like, kill anybody or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but, I'm kind of scared. I mean, I hope
as long as it didn't piss me off.
If this day does repeat the next day, if you decide to put a knife in my back, or you took one of your friend's guns and you decide to shoot me right now, that I hope it starts all over for me. That I know. You know, that when I come over here the next time, then I'm packed.
Yeah, we'll be good. We'll be back to normal. You know, me and you, we'll be friends again. But so Punk's a Tony Phil, though. That I got to say, he didn't see his shadow, folks.
I know
he did not see his shadow. So we're apparently in for a short. Is it
winter?
Yeah, short winter. Yes, yeah.
So, and spring is right around the corner.
Spring's coming quick. Yeah, so I don't know if that's Punk's Tony Phil's prediction or climate change scientists. I'm not sure who is more to blame for this one. But to be honest, though, you know, it's a fun little game to play. But I was checking the record actually, and good old Phil. He doesn't have the best record when it comes to calling the weather, surprisingly.
It's a fucking ugly-ass rodent. What do you expect?
Surprisingly, groundhogs are not good weather people. I mean, who would have thought this, you know? But, But speaking of not good at predicting stuff, they just had the Iowa caucus last night.
Yes.
And this is something we got to get into here because this is kind of important here. This is kind of important.
I agree. See, a year ago, people were like, who the fuck is Bernie Sanders? Who the fuck is this guy? And a year later, Bernie Sanders went from being a dark horse candidate to now a serious threat to the Clinton campaign. What was the final percentage last night? Was Clinton at 49.9? No, I'm sorry. Clinton was at 49.7 and Sanders was at 49.3?
It was pretty much a toss-up, yeah. I think it was less than a percentage point.
Like, seriously. Now, they had to do a coin flip and Clinton won on a technicality. But if you saw the numbers, it was basically a tie. Now, it goes to tell you that now Sanders is not, you know, he's not fucking around. And, you know, people are starting to get on his side. The nation, our country, they're starting to get on his side. They're starting to listen to him. So, I mean, he's breathing down the Clinton campaign's neck. I think it's, you know, I've been feeling the burn for a long time.
And not just in his pants.
And screw you. That probably wasn't the best comeback for that. But Bernie Sanders, man, I'm telling you. You know, he attracts the young crowd. He's starting to attract a lot of Generation X. He's starting to attract that Generation X crowd slowly. They like what he likes to. They like what he says, and they like his character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of. I almost want to call this his coming out party here. You know.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, you're right. He is basically proven that he's in this race now. I mean, technically, he lost. But it was by a razor thin margin. And yeah, it just shows you that he has gained traction. And she's even admitted recently. I saw her on Jimmy Fallon a couple weeks ago, probably maybe a month or so. And she's even admitted that the race is close. You know, I mean, she's not, she's not naive. She understands what's going on here. She has plenty of fucking smart people who are telling her what the deal is. And yeah, he's on the map here. And I think that he's had so much success because Donald Trump has had so much success as well. And because I think that the two of them are basically the complete opposite of one another. You know, if somebody like Donald Trump is going to be doing good, and we'll get into him in a minute here, but if somebody like him is going to be doing good, you need the anti-Trump. And that's exactly what Bernie Sanders is, you know? And you need that pushback. You need that yin and that yang. And that's what's going on here. And Clinton is, I look at her as basically the business as usual. You know, she's part of the old guard. I mean, who knows the people that are talking in her camp behind the scenes? Who knows what defense contractors, oil companies, all that kind of shit, the people that are dealing with her. And I think this just shows you that people are sick of business as usual. You know, they're sick of that. They're tired of that. Everybody wants something new. And as crazy and as loco as Bernie is and how big he's been going, it just shows you, you know, you need that pushback. You need that opposite. And this is what happens. And hey, I'm happy for Bernie. You know, I mean, I just wish he was a little bit younger, man. I wish he was just a little bit
younger. Reagan was the same age when he got elected into the office.
Yeah, well, and you know, I was 3 years old and I wasn't happy about that either, you know.
But he's not Reagan.
Well, yeah, and he had already lost it by the time that, you know, he won the second election. I mean, he was fucking gone, dude. He was too old. He didn't know what the fuck. I mean, Reagan, in my opinion, people, you know, a lot of Republicans and conservatives want to look at him as he's the Gipper. You know, he's the king of kings. He is their guy. But
what?
I think he's just one of the fucking biggest puppets out there that they've had. You know, just a puppet, dude, just pushing everybody behind the scenes agenda, doing what the advisors and everybody tells him is right. I mean, and I'm not gonna make too many comparisons to Bernie and Reagan, because besides age, I don't think they had too much really in common. You know, Reagan was a movie star. Bernie, I don't even know when the last time he combed his hair was, you know, so.
That's Trump.
Well, no.
Don't talk about my boy, well, Bernie, like that, man.
Trump doesn't have hair. He has a rug, and I'm sure he combs it plenty, but let's not confuse that with real, actual hair, so. But no, that was a tight race. But I think what happened on the Republican side was even more surprising.
What, that Trump got beat by a Canadian Latino?
What a fucking makeup! What a makeup! A Canadian Latino. I mean, how did this even again? There's just so many standout situations in this election that you're just not used to seeing. It's the madness that is going to ensue. I can't even imagine it. I can't even imagine how crazy it's going to get. You know, I don't even know if I'm ready for it. You know, I don't even know if I'm ready for all the shit that is going to unfold here in the next 6 to 8 months. It's going to be a nut house, but yeah, Trump, I mean, everybody thought this guy had it in the bag. You know, everybody was getting all fired up and, oh dude, this guy, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, exactly. People are making their pronunciations that they're going to move out of the country if he gets it. And it just shows you this race is a long way from over. I mean, if you get a couple of these stragglers in the Republican field to drop out, that's bad news for Trump. Okay. That's bad news, because the best way he has a shot is if everybody else is divided and everybody else is breaking up and splitting 9, 10, 12% of the electorate. That's his best shot. You know, he's got enough name recognition and he gets enough airtime that he can get a quarter, maybe 30% of the vote. But if everybody else is fragmented, that's his best shot. And it was working for a while, but obviously, good old Teddy Cruz, you know, snuck in out of nowhere.
Good old Teddy Cruz, he's just as bad as Trump. Come on,
he's crazy, but yeah, it's almost worse because it's a calculated crazy. I feel like I feel like it's all been planned out, you know, and he's dialed this in. He's self-proclaimed. He said that, you know, the Democrats have made a third, you know, grouping for him alone, and that's crazy. But this is all just calculated by his party, and I feel like he just makes himself almost seem crazy just because it's kind of the thing to do. I was watching a video from the Daily Show. I guess they released a bunch of footage from his campaign, his super PAC or whatever. They released like 13 hours of raw uncut footage.
What?
Yeah, from him. And it's so funny. They got him. He's talking in front of the camera. He's talking with his mom. He's talking with his dad, his family members, and all this stuff. And you can hear the director in the background telling him to hug his mom, telling him to show her affection, hold on to her, squeeze her, do all this shit. I mean, it's just fucking ridiculous, dude. It's exciting, you know. It's exciting because if he does get the nod, he would be, in my opinion, the first gay man who actually had a shot at getting the presidency.
Ted Cruz gay.
I have no doubt in my mind, dude. That guy is going to some gay bathhouses, all kinds of undercover shit. No doubt in my mind, man. His favorite movie is The Princess Bride.
Is it really?
Yes, and he admits that. He's
admitted
that.
Inconceivable!
In campaign rallies. I am 100% convinced that this guy is an undercover gay. He realizes that if you want to be president, you got to have a family, you got to have kids, and you got to believe in God. I mean, I don't even know if he's a fucking Christian. Again, this could all just be calculated and part of the plan and part of him trying to figure his shit out. I mean, I'm glad that Trump didn't win. And as much as we want to sit here and talk about this and make a big deal of it, Iowa, just like my boy Punxsutawney Phil, is not a good barometer of what's going to happen. You know, the person who wins the first one does a lot of times it does. You don't even end up pulling through. Okay, but at the same time, if Trump doesn't get New Hampshire, which I love how the second that the results for Iowa are in, everybody's on their fucking jet and heading to New Hampshire immediately. Single fucking can. Thanks, Iowa. Peace out. See you, motherfuckers. We'll be back. We'll be back when the real voting starts again. You know, when you guys actually matter again, because no one gives a fuck about you. But yeah, everybody's in New Hampshire. But if he doesn't get New Hampshire, though, Trump has a big problem on his hands. A big problem.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not going to sit and predict what's going to happen in New Hampshire. I honestly have no clue at all. But if Trump doesn't win, he's in some trouble. And another thing, too, he's got to worry about is Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio came out of nowhere. Another Latino, which, again, if you would have thought 10 years ago that two of the top three Republican contenders had Latino heritage in their background, I mean, somebody would have bet you their entire wealth that was not going to be the case, dude. So that, again, that just plays into how fucking weird and crazy of an election year this is going to be. But he was the surprise, though. He came up, he lost to Trump by 1%. I believe he got 23% of the vote.
Yes, and Trump had 24.
Yeah, so good old Trumpy Trump here. He's, you know, this guy, he was Mr. Confident 2 or 3 weeks ago, but he might be in a little bit of trouble here.
Now,
he's in a little bit of trouble.
He said in his concession speech that he was honored to take second place. But what did he say in his Twitter? In his Twitter account?
Well, I'm glad you asked, actually, because I had to look into it. You know, I did a little Trump research just to see what's up. Guy's got almost 6 million followers on Twitter, which, to be honest, I guessed about that. I was thinking it was going to be closer to 5, but I was like, yeah, okay, he's got to get them out. But this is an exact tweet from Trump after Ted Cruz won and he had his speech. And I quote, "Anybody who watched all of Ted Cruz's far too long, rambling, overly flamboyant," which is what I was just saying, "speech last night would say that this was his Howard Dean moment." So once again, Trump. Wow. So once again, Trump is showing how much of a good loser he is here. You know, gets right to the Twitter sphere after and just
he bankrupts how many companies? And he's been used to fucking losing,
and just starts dissing people. I mean, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
he's mad because he lost to a fucking Canadian Latino,
a gay Canadian Latino.
Okay, we don't know.
who's faking being a Christian. But yeah,
he lost to the one fucking race that he wants to keep out of this country, and he's pissed off about it.
Yeah, hey, when you're a certified bigot, you know the last people you want to lose to is the Latinos.
That's he got the last beat by one. He got another one breathing it out of his neck.
Yeah, it's
you reap what you sow, Trump,
or who you try to keep out of the country.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe there'll be a Muslim candidate coming up from the rear soon.
Republican? Oh my God, no, that's asinine.
Yeah, who am I kidding?
Yeah,
this country's not ready for that.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it was that was surprising though, man. And you know, again, it's just things are fucking heating up here, dude. Things are heating up. It was funny too, because like you were talking, you know, I had to watch his speech after, and he, you know, he was proud that he finished second, but 3 weeks ago this guy wouldn't have been proud for a second place finish. He was acting like he had this shit in a landslide already, like it was in the bank already, like $1 million loan from his fucking dad. But
A small $1 million loan.
They showed that clip too on one of the videos I was watching. He even says a small loan. Oh man,
that's good. I received a small loan of $1 million.
Hey, it's like,
and then I pulled out my wallet and I start counting my change with your dimes and pennies and my dollar bills. And yeah. It's like.
A moth flew out of it too. Still in the room somewhere here, but no, it's like I said though, man. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again. Trump, when you put him head to head, man, whoever he's against or whoever is in favor of one of the other candidates, they will unanimously vote for not Trump. And so he better be careful. He better be careful. He needs to do some work here. I mean, he's spending the night in New Hampshire right now. So we'll see. I don't know. Do you know when they're doing the caucus?
I'm not sure when the next.
I'd say it's probably next week, I'm guessing. But,
really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It starts moving fast, man, because they got to do every state, you know, and there's 50 states out there. So they got to get going on this shit. But it might even be later this week. Who knows? Or this weekend. But we'll see. We'll keep you guys posted. And, you know, you guys will see what's going on because it's all over the goddamn news here. You can't get away from this shit. So, but yeah, who knows? Hopefully, God, I don't even, you know, the problem with the Republican field at this point is all the people that are decent and somewhat or mildly respectable. Besides Jeb Bush, obviously.
His own family doesn't respect him.
Are all...
No. You got Bill going out there campaigning for Hillary. Where the fuck is W and his dad? Where the fuck is his brother W and Jeb's dad at?
He's working on his art career, man. Senior, man, that guy, dude, I'm calling it right now. Guy's got less than a year to live.
Wow, that's fucked up to say. I don't Republican or not, that's fucked up to say. You don't estimate when someone's about to die.
What do you mean? People make these predictions all the goddamn time. And people predict three people in the year that are supposed to die a lot of times. Like I've heard people have money pools at their work on what celebrity or famous person's going to die. Listen, I'm not saying I hope it happens. I'm just saying the guy's already been in and out of the hospital a few times. He's like 92 or 93 years old at this point. All right. Yeah. So I mean, the guy had a good run. You know, what do you want here? Jesus Christ. I turned 30 last year. At this point, I'm feeling like I'm going to be lucky if I hit 40. All right.
Wow. What?
It's, you know, it was, after 28, it's just been straight downhill. So we'll see how long I'll last here. I don't know, but that's my prediction though. So we'll see later on this year.
Who do you think takes New Hampshire out of the Democrats?
I think Bernie's going to get it.
And out of the Republicans.
That's a little tougher to say. I want it to be Rand Paul. I mean, I actually like that guy. I hate to admit it, but I actually like Rand Paul. I think he's surprisingly moderate and he's surprisingly level-headed, and I think he's willing to do some stuff that other people are not willing to do at all, but there's no fucking way he will, because I think he got like 2% in Iowa, so he'll be out of the race pretty soon. But I'm going to... Fuck. I think it'll go to Trump. I think.
Wow, New Hampshire.
It's a small state, not super populated, so if you get that niche in the market, you know, you can get a big enough percentage of the vote that'll probably Cruz you to victory. I mean, who knows? I hope it's not Cruz. I hope it's not Cruz, because I feel like the more divided the Republican Party is, the better chances it leaves for the Democrats. You know, the more fragmented they are and the more discombobulated they are to when it comes down to when they actually have to decide who their candidate is, I think that just plays into the Democrats' hands. And Yeah, I hope so. And I don't think a Republican president with a Republican Congress, I don't think that's a good idea for personal people's rights. You know, I don't think it's good. I think our government works best. I hate to say it, but I think our government works best when there's a Democrat in the White House. And
why do you hate to say
Congress
that, though?
Is Republican. Because why should it work best when things are most divided? Why?
Yeah, true.
Why can't these motherfuckers just understand that compromise is part of being a politician? You're not going to get what you want.
Because Republicans, it's their way or the highway.
I know it is. And that's why if they have Congress and the White House, I think it's going to be trouble. I mean, to be honest, they're fucking retarded. So I don't even know how much they would even be able to accomplish, even if they controlled all of it. And even if they did, you know, even if a Republican won this year, one of the houses of Congress would probably flip. The Senate would probably flip next year after the vote, and so they wouldn't have a hammer lock on everything. But I mean that's just my personal opinion. I don't have a lot of evidence to back that up, but yeah, I just think when it's divided that things run better. So but we'll see. I think Trump will get New Hampshire, but again, you got to wait till the 6th, 7th, 8th caucus to see what's going on. You know, you need Carly Fiorina, which what the fuck is she doing still? What the fuck are you even doing in the race still? All right, you've gained no traction in the year that you've been campaigning here.
She's a woman running for Republican.
I mean, you know, talk about a fucking pipe dream, all right? You know, where do you think we're living here, lady? I mean, if you're going to be a woman and try to run for the Republican nod, you better be a fucking dime piece, okay? You better be smoking hot, like guns, have a ton of faith in God, and probably be from the South. Probably have to be a Southern belle. If you're
sounds like
Stacey
Dash.
And I hate to say it, I'm sure Carly might be into guns, but she doesn't have any of those other things going for her at all. All right, she's not very easy on the eyes. I don't think she's that smart, and she's not even pro-choice. You're a fucking woman, and you're not pro-choice. I mean, whose side are you on here, lady? Huh? Whose side are you on? But we'll see, though. It's going to get interesting once a couple of those people drop out. You need Jeb to drop out. You need Rand Paul to drop out. Chris Christie, Fiorina, and then it's really going to fucking heat up when you got just the top three or four candidates here. So who knows how long that'll take? I mean, a lot of these guys are delusional, and Chris Christie, I don't even know what to say about that guy. That guy. I mean, again, I don't know what to say about it. He's so ridiculous that the fact that he even thinks that he can make it happen is just shocking to me. I mean, what's going on in that thick head of yours, man? I don't even know. You come from the most corrupt state out there, basically.
New Jersey.
But yeah, once all those guys drop out, which will probably happen, I'd say within the next month, then we'll really see where we're heading here and see what's going to happen. So, but until then, we'll keep the craziness going, and we will keep you updated on the Trump tweets, because they are goodness, people. They are good. So, overly flamboyant. Why don't you just call him gay, Trump? All right. Why don't you just call him gay? You're not going to get any gay votes anyway. So what the hell? You know, just say what you really want to say. That's been your marquee. That's what you do. That's your brand. So why don't you just keep it going? I mean, you tiptoed around it, but we all know what you're talking about.
On to I'm so glad you're my partner and now really good friend of mine. Onto some local news. Another sexist, homophobe, bigot. Well, he's at least a homophobe. Kennewick Republican representative Brad Clifford, he introduced a bill last week that would limit flags on state ferries to the U.S. flag, Washington state flag, and maritime flag. And the state ferries, they have a tradition of having the 12th man flag or the 12th flag on their ferries, and sometimes the gay pride flag. Sorry. Now, Brad Clipper said, according to King 5 News, "I have no problem with the Seahawks flag. People across all policies, beliefs support our Seahawks, but that is not true for gay pride flags." Well, can he prove that everyone in Washington is a Seahawks fan? Because not everyone I've met in Washington is a Seahawks fan.
Yeah.
Which shows that he is just a huge fucking bigot.
Is he a Republican?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He's from Kennewick, Eastern Washington.
That definitely makes some sense.
Yes. So what a dumbass.
So what do you think here? I mean, you just think he's completely misguided on this one?
Fuck yeah, he is. That is bullshit. And I mean, that comment right there, that comment when he says, "I have no problem with the Seahawks flag. People across all policy beliefs support our Seahawks. But not everyone agrees with the gay pride flag." And you know what grinds my gears? It's the Republicans that are always saying, I'm tired of everyone being fucking politically correct. I'm tired of everyone being so fucking, you know, everyone being so fucking offensive and everyone being fucking pussified. And now he's bitching about this. He's bitching about a fucking flag. He's bitching about a flag. Oh, what happened in South Carolina last year? Their flag. The Republicans were pissed off that we were, you know, offended by the Confederate flag. But hey, okay, let's put the gay flag in the corner. Confederate flag in the corner. Gay pride. You know, gay people have had to fight for equal rights for a very long time. What does that Confederate flag stand for?
Tradition.
Fuck you.
I do a joke about this when I do stand up, and I say, if anything, at this point, tradition should be a reason for us to change things, not to keep them the same. You know, but that's their case though. That's their case when they argue that, and that's what they go with. You know.
Look, I went to and I think I told you this. The high school I went to, the mascot were the Rebels. The school flag was Confederate flag. And our fight song was Dixie.
The school flag was the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. God, Texas. Now, you guys are great.
Yeah. Now, at first when I was growing up, I tried giving this flag a chance. I ignored the history of it. Mm-hmm. I ignored what it was originally used for. And because I moved to that town in 1997. And, you know, I saw that flag flying around like nobody's business. And everyone used to say, pride, not hate. We don't mean it that way. And then I hit high school. And I remember my senior year running for... I wanted to get nominated on homecoming court. And someone came up to me and said, if you get nominated, you know, if you make homecoming... If you make homecoming court, we're going to throw Confederate flags on the field.
Oh, my God. Oh, just fucking ridiculousness.
And I'm just like, man, you know you're fucking it up for everyone else.
And they were thinking, yeah, we were going to say the same thing to you. Fucking assholes.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's bitching about a flag. You know, and he's a Republican, and you know, Republicans all around our nation were bitching about how we shouldn't take the Confederate flag down, but we got a Republican here who's bitching about a gay pride, the gay pride flag. Mm-hmm. Like how fucking hypocritical is that?
Yeah, no, that's a good point you make. I mean, looking at it from that perspective, yeah, it when the flag is the one they like, they want to keep it, but you know, if it's not the flag they like, then you got to come down. Can I play devil's advocate on this one?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. I don't like the way he's going about it, but I'm going to agree with your boy here on this one. And I'm going to say for this reason, okay, if you're going to do the gay pride flag, where do we draw the line? Do we fly the furry flag over there? Do we fly the... Comic-Con flag, you know, do we fly? I mean, where do we draw the line? You know, the gay pride flag, it's a big issue around here. You know, you got Capitol Hill, a lot of gay people, a lot of gay people in this state, period. You know, probably higher per capita than most states out there. I think that's probably safe to say. But at the same time, what are we talking about? Maybe 3, 4, maybe 5% of the population? I mean, does every 5% of the population get their
state
flag?
State ferries, though, not around the nation. State ferries.
I understand that, but what about a 10% of the population that's into whatever stupid ass fucking thing that they're into? Do we get to fly their flag too? I mean, the issue I have with what he said is that the 12th man flag is okay, because like you said, not everybody's a football fan. Okay, I'm a football fan. You're a football fan. But at the same time, I know people aren't football fans, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a fucking game. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's just a game. Yes. I enjoy watching it. You enjoy watching it, but it's just a game. And so, unfortunately, if you want to take down the gay pride flag, okay, fine. You can make a case for it. But you also got to take down that 12th man flag, too, if you want to keep everything fair. You know? I mean, like I said, 3, 4, maybe 5% of the population of this state is gay, which is way higher than the national average. That being said, does every 5% get their flag flown on the ferry? I mean, how many fucking flags are we going to fly up there? Okay. Do the Civil War reenactors, do they get their flag to fly up there too? I mean,
that flag means hate though.
Well, no, it depends on what side they're on. It depends on what side of the Civil War reenactment they're on. But listen, you have to draw the line somewhere. And again, like I said, his mistake was saying that the 12th man flag is okay. I mean, I don't have a problem. You know, you want to, who gives a shit? I mean, fly whatever fucking flag you want. But again, who's the next group to say, hey, we want our flag too. We want the transgender flag up there too, you know, cause we're important and you know, we matter and we're here and we're doing this. You know, you have to draw the line somewhere. And let's just keep it basic. If we're going to make a big deal about the gay flag, then we got to do the same thing for the 12th man flag. So if you want them both down, take them both down. If you want to let them both fly, let them both fly. You know, there has to be some kind of standard, because if not, we're just going to run into this issue 6 months, 8 months, 12 months down the line, and we're going to be right here having the same stupid ass pointless fucking debate that, you know, about fucking flags on a goddamn ferry. All right. Although I will say that you can make a pretty good case for the gay pride flag just because it's on a ferry. You know, I mean, it's a fucking ferry. All right. It's kind of part of their heritage. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's spelled the exact same way, as the gay fairies, but you know, there's a correlation there at least. But yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, again, if we're gonna make an issue, we got to keep it, stick to the basics, and like you said, the maritime flag, Seattle flag, and United States flag. You know, if we want to have a sit here and have a debate, well, everybody loses. Then everybody loses. No specialty flags. So just stick to the basics. You know, and maybe we'll avoid this shit next time. So. Again, it you know, it's unfortunate, but it's just like, and I don't want to, I'm going to say this and it might sound a little homophobic, but I'm going to take a risk here. How much attention do we need to pay to a tiny, tiny, tiny minority of the population? You know, how important and how big and how center stage do your issues need to be? I mean, I have nothing against gay people. I'm glad that gay marriage is legalized. I just want us to move on and stop talking about this, okay? Because we're wasting our fucking time, all right? Don't hate these people. Don't persecute them. Let them have their rights and do whatever they want.
Well, that's the point,
and
though.
Let's move on to the bigger issues.
People aren't giving them equal rights. That's why. Same thing with African Americans. That's why the Black Lives Matter movement it exists. We keep on getting fucked with. We keep on getting treated. We're not treated equally.
But who's the mistreatment coming from? I mean, here's my issue with the Black Lives Matter movement since you got into it. I'm all for it. You know, it's important and they have a powerful message and it's an important message. And I certainly agree with them. But are they addressing the main source of black deaths here? I mean, are they that, you know, they're more or less want to stop police brutality and all that kind of stuff and unnecessary shootings and all that. And I completely agree with all that. But if you want to support Black Lives Matter and you want to show that Black Lives Matter, you need to address the main cause of underage black deaths. And what is that? That's black on black crime. That's black people getting shot by other black people. I mean, you just look at the statistics.
White people kill white people. Mexicans
exactly,
kill Mexicans.
Exactly. Everybody kills everybody. But you can't forget about all those black people that were killed by other black people and just talk about the sliver of fucking bigoted and racist cops who are shooting black people. You can't just focus on that. If you really want to help black lives and you want to save black lives, you need to look at the biggest and the root causes. And I'm sorry, I'm not being racist. I'm not being, you know, biased, but most young black people are killed by other black people.
I understand that, but the main cause for Black Lives Matter was that, look what happened to Trayvon Martin. Look what happened to Eric Berry. Look what happened to the guy in Baltimore. It's not fair. You honestly can't tell me that if those guys were white, the same thing would happen.
Cops shoot people all the fucking time, man. Cops shoot people all the time. We can get on YouTube here in a minute, and I can show you a video of a white guy who's in a Corvette, a nice Corvette, gets out of his car at a traffic stop, doesn't pose a threat at all, just gets out of his car, and the cops shoot him dead. Just shoot him dead. He's a white guy. If you fuck with the cops, they will fuck you up, okay? They don't care if you're Mexican. They don't care if you're white. They don't care if you're black. If you fuck with the cops and you do stupid shit with them and you don't comply, you will get fucked up, okay? You may not get shot, you might not get killed, but if you don't comply with the cops, they will fuck you up. That is the part of their job that they love, okay? That's their favorite part of the job, is when people don't comply and they don't do what they're told, and then they get to use excessive force. And in my opinion, that is the major issue, is excessive police force. Okay. It happens to everybody. It happens to black people in a bigger slice, you know, for as far as the amount of black people there are out there.
I saw a sickening video where I saw a black guy running from the cops, and yeah, he should have been running, whatever. But when the cops pulled up to him, he put his hands around he put his hands behind his head, kneel down, and lay down. He's saying, I surrender, arrest me, take me to jail. No, six cops came up and just started beating his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And they stopped, and they started saying, stop resisting, stop resisting. And he kept saying, I'm not resisting, I'm not resisting. What the fuck is wrong with that, Slim?
It's fucked up, man. It is fucked up. And like I said, it happens to black people in a disproportionate amount than it does to other people. There's no question. When you look at the amount of black people there are in this country and how often these situations come up, there's no question. It happens to them way more than anybody, especially on a percentage basis. But I think the big issue is police brutality and police excessive force. And it can happen to anybody. And again, when you do not comply with the cops, all bets are off. Okay? All bets are off. You don't do what they say, and who fucking knows what's going to happen to you? Okay? Who knows? Anybody is subject to it. And that's why my policy across the board, anytime a cop is involved, is pucker up those lips and kiss some fucking dirty police butthole, all right? Kiss the shit out of that ass, okay? Because that's the way that you're not going to get shot, and that's the way that you're maybe going to get yourself out of a ticket. I'm not going to say always. It happens every once in a while, especially when you're white. But that is the best policy to have all the time. And you know what? Once the situation is calmed down and that cop leaves you alone, then you can call him a prick and a piece of shit and do all that fucking shit and say, fuck that cop, that stupid piece of shit. But the point I want to make, though, is that anytime you fuck with the cops and don't do what they say, all bets are off. Okay. Anything can happen.
Agree.
Anything can happen. I've dealt with cops probably more than most white people have. I don't know why I put it in those terms, but
because you have a good friend that's black. I don't know.
Well, you know, and I've broken a few laws in the day, so
I've had a handful
of run-ins with them, so I know. But people, like I said, if there's a point I want to get across, do not fuck with the cops. Okay, you suck it up and say, God damn it, I'm gonna let this fucking prick who probably never got laid in high school and is probably a piece of shit and nobody liked him, I'm going to let him just say and do whatever stupid ass bullshit that he wants to do, because I don't want to die at a traffic stop for speeding, for going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. I don't want to die for this. So I'm just going to, again, pucker up those lips and just start kissing ass, baby, because no one wants to get shot for some bullshit.
After you describing how all cops were in high school, remind me to never ride with you again.
Dude, they are, man. A lot of those guys, they didn't get any pussy, okay? Nobody liked them. And so now they're out and they got something to prove. And that probably plays into why a lot of times there's excessive force and all this kind of bullshit happens. But I promise you that plenty of white people are fucking getting shot when they shouldn't too. Plenty of Latinos. Probably not any Asians, to be honest. Probably not any Asians, because they are very compliant and very calm and very well-collected people. So, you know, I've said it before on the show, and I'll say it again. The Asian people, they're doing a lot of things right now, all right? They're on top of their fucking shit. That's why I exclusively date Asian women. Not, you know, I'm not biased against other races. It just seems like that when I get a good connection with somebody, they end up being an Asian person. But, you know, they're the only ones who are avoiding all this other shit, all right? You go on YouTube and try to find some videos of an Asian guy getting shot by the cops, and I guarantee you there's not that many. There's not that many, so take it from the Asian population, folks, and you know, just you know, stick to yourself, mind your business, and hopefully you'll end up staying out of trouble. So, but fucking A, yeah, it's fucked up, but you know, at least with all the video and all the shit and all the Black Lives Matter, you know, this is all bringing awareness. And as much as I'm against awareness a lot of times, or I don't want to give it more credit than it deserves, I think the trend is good right now, at least. You know, I think the trend is positive and we're working towards where we need to be, slowly but surely, you know. So I don't know, we'll see. I mean, who knows? If Trump gets into office, then all bets again will be off, and it'll probably be worse than it ever was. Oh fuck, who am I kidding? He's not gonna be able to do shit about that. I mean, you know, I'm giving him too much credit here, but But let's get off this subject, though. This is a depressing subject. Let's get on to something that is probably equally as depressing, though. Let's talk about a little salon stylists and
seven salon.
Seven Costanza. Sorry, I had to.
Yeah, he has a weird obsession with Seinfeld.
I do. It's not healthy. It's definitely not healthy. I'm not going to lie. But what was the story, though? You were all over this shit. You were loving it.
Okay, so according to Cairo 7, several hairstylists are out of a job this week after getting fired from their downtown Seattle hair salon, Seven Salon, via a text message. And the text message says, Seven regrets to inform you that our Seattle Saloon and Educational Academy has ceased operations. We have closed for business reasons.
Business reasons? It was in our best interest to save the most amount of money.
That's what it is.
God damn, this was fucking brutal. But, oh my God. You know, this is one of my biggest issues with women, okay? I have a lot here. A lot of them are deeply seated and deeply rooted in my past.
Oh, gosh.
No. This is my biggest issue with women, though, is your guys' how much you guys have embraced the text messaging, okay? I can't even count how many times I've called a girl that I was interested or not, maybe just a friend, maybe just something more, called a girl, can't get her to answer, and 5 minutes later, she's texting me back. Oh, sorry, I was just in the middle of something, but what's going on? Text messaging is the most cowardly, weak-ass bullshit that there is out there, okay? And anybody who is dishing out some bad news and does it via text message, especially when it comes to people's lives and your livelihood and your way of living, you're a fucking coward. Okay, you are a coward. You don't want to actually have to face somebody and show them what's up and actually let them hear your voice, and you're a fucking coward, and that's bullshit.
I agree. A few years ago, one of my exes broke up with me over text.
Cold-blooded.
Yeah, she told me that I was no longer physically attracted to her and that I was too loud for her.
Oh my! I gotta agree with her on this one. I hate to say it, Shoddy. I gotta agree with her on this one. I never even met her before. Fuck, dude, that's fucking hateful, though, man.
Yeah.
God, how long have you guys been dating?
We were on and off for about 3 years.
Oh my God, that's like,
and that was the last time I communicated with her. And the next day, she blocked me on Facebook.
Oh God.
Yeah, I haven't talked to her since. I don't know what the fuck she's doing now.
So her dumping you was the last communication you guys had?
Yes, I didn't text her back.
Fuck, good. Oh, you didn't. Nice. That's good, man. That's good. You know, if she's going to pull that bullshit, fucking don't even waste any time and even bothering to give her a response.
Yeah.
God, it's just, if you can't just actually dial up the phone and call somebody and, hey, listen, you know, I hate to do it, but I have to tell you, if you don't have that in you, then you're a fucking pussy, and you're just a coward. This shit just enrages me, man. I mean, I don't even know any of these fucking people who got fired, but it's just complete bullshit.
I'm guessing you're not a big texter.
I keep it very basic. You know, I keep it very basic. I don't do the back and forth text. It's like, let's just call. Let's just talk on the phone, and we'll save ourselves 30 minutes because this back and forth text chat will take 40 minutes. And if we had a conversation out of this, it would take 4 or 5 minutes. And we'd be done with it. And we move on with our lives.
That's probably why you have a lot of bad luck on these internet dating websites. Because I guarantee you, right off the bat, you're like, hey, so can I get your number? And these girls are like, who the fuck is this guy?
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. That's
you're probably right, man. I hate to say it. You know, I don't know when the girls all got together and had a vote and decided that text messaging was going to be their main means of communication, but I would have done my best to veto that vote, you know?
I know a lot of people in 2016 that don't like talking on the phone these days. Talking on the phone is a thing of the past.
Yeah, well, how lazy are all those people, too?
They don't have time. That's their excuse. They can't make time to talk on the phone for at least 5 minutes, but they can text their ass away.
Yeah, for 2 hours straight.
Yeah.
God, anybody got time for that? Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. I got some stats here for you people, okay? If nothing else to take away from this episode, I want you guys to take this away because I'm very passionate about this. And when it comes to communication, I have some pretty alarming stats here as far as what communication levels work the best. When it comes to communicating with other people, 7% of the communication is from the actual words themselves. So that would be the texting, you know, because that's all texting is. All you get from text is the actual words, every single word. That's all you get from it. You don't get any emotion. You don't get any feelings. You don't get any of that other shit. All you get is just the specific words. It's like a robot. It's like robot talking, basically. So 7% of it is actual words. 38% is the vocals. So your pitch, the way you're talking, your tone, your voice, your inflections, all that kind of stuff. That's 38%, you know. So when you're actually talking to somebody on the phone, when you're actually talking to them, you go from 7% of the conversation you get via text to when you're actually talking on the phone, you get about 45% of it. Because you get to hear their voice, you know, you get to hear them. What? They get excited. Oh my God. Oh, what? Oh gosh. I'm so, oh my God. I can't believe that. That's so terrible. You know, you get all that. And last, but certainly not least, in fact, most important, 55% of communication is visual. So I'm sitting and looking at Shoddy right now, and I can see how he reacts when I talk about white people getting shot just as much as black people and see how frustrated he gets with me. So that is the most important part of the conversation. 7% is just the words. So I know you ladies love to text. I know you guys love it. But how many times have you sent a text and you were trying to joke or you were trying to be sarcastic or you're trying to be funny and it got completely misconstrued and misunderstood and it just completely blew up in your face? I mean, I can tell you, dozens of times it's happened to me, okay? Dozens of times it's happened to me. So when you have something important you need to say, people, give somebody a call. Or if you really care about them and you really want what's best for them, actually show up, meet them somewhere, sit down with them face to face and give them the whole 100%, you know, just give them that 7%. I know it's a little easier not having to face people and being able to sit and think about exactly what you want to text and calculate every single word that you have to say, but that's not how humans communicate. Okay. That's how robots and computers communicate. It's not how humans.
Once you know it, 5 years from now, instead of having public speeches, we're going to, you know, they're going to, the speaker's going to be texting the whole goddamn speech. And right behind them, it's going to be a big-ass screen, and the whole text is going to appear on the screen.
It probably will, dude. It probably will. It's just, and again, we come back to what we were talking about in the salon, firing people via text. And again, it's just fucking cowardly. That's all it is. If, you know, you guys fucked your business up, you guys ran it into the ground. So why don't you tell that handful of employees? I mean, I'm sure it wasn't that many. I mean, how many could it be? Maybe 10 people? Maybe 10? You can't fire out.
Their lives matter too.
You can't fire out 10 fucking phone calls in an hour and say, hey, listen, I'm really sorry about this. You know, this is definitely not how we wanted things to go. It's fucking cowardly. Okay. So if you guys really want to work on your communication, and this is a problem with the cell phone and technology age, is that communication is hindered. You know, people, we have Facebook and people think, oh yeah, you're staying connected with your friends. Oh, I'm so connected. No, you're just seeing photos of their kids and seeing photos of their dogs and seeing photos of their cat, but you have nothing. You have no idea what's going on. You don't know how to communicate with that person. Nobody calls anybody up just to say, hey, how you doing, man? I haven't talked to you in 3 or 4 months. How you been? What's going on? How's life been? You know, what's up with you? How's your girl doing? Are you guys good? Is life good? How's the job? Nobody does that shit anymore. And I'm just as much to blame in this as anybody else. I mean, I'm not too big on the text, but again, I've been there. It's much easier, but it's much less rewarding all at the same time too. So don't be afraid, guys. You know, if you want to give some bad news, just give it, and then everybody can move on with their life.
People these days, they're, you know, they don't mind texting a fucking essay, but they're more lazy. You know, they're lazier to pick up the phone and to say what they just texted, which takes like 5 seconds to say.
And it's probably less effort. It's in the whole scheme of things, it's probably less effort than sitting typing all the shit on your phone. It's probably less effort. It just takes a little bit more grit and a little more fucking balls. But I guess that's the internet age we live in, you know? It's all about that text messaging, so keep it up, ladies. I guess that's going to be the deal. And
hey,
you guys keep doing that.
Text messages had saved me from a bunch of awkward moments, and I know it's done the same for you.
Probably a few times, but it's also contributed to a lot of awkward moments for me too. So, but you know, girls, hey, keep up with the text messages and keep on top of that, and I'll just continue to keep not getting laid, you know. So yeah, everybody's good, I guess. So
you're really gonna blame that for your bad luck on these dating websites?
The first girl that stood me up a couple times, my texting, no question, cost me, because she wanted a redo. She stood me up the first time and she wanted the redo, but I had some harsh words for her via text and she didn't like it. She did not like it. Okay. And you know, again, I got stood up for the second time. So, I guess it's something I'm going to need to work on, but I don't know. I think everybody needs to work on manning up, sucking it up, and actually giving people a call from time to time, you know. It's nice to hear people's voice. Isn't it nice to hear people's voice? Especially your voice, man. You got a nice voice. It's very deep, you know. You pronounce well. I mean, you know, it's just nice. It's the way we were born to communicate as human beings, you know.
Well, I'm glad my voice can comfort you.
It is comforting a lot of times, you know. Not always, but a lot of times it certainly can be. So, no, I love it, big guy. I love it. But, well, shit, it's getting late here, though, man. We should probably tie a bow on this motherfucker and get things going here. Thank you guys for joining us here. A little bit more serious this week. I didn't really see this coming, you know. I thought we were going to be a little jokey and have some fun here, and we tried to, but hopefully it was entertaining and mildly informative for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And, you know, like always, we appreciate the shit out of you guys listening to us. I mean, we're actually getting some traction here. We're getting some pretty good hits last couple of weeks. And we hope you guys are liking it, you know, because, again, I say it a million times and I'm going to say it again. You guys are the best thing we got going here.
Yes,
so,
you do.
And we appreciate you guys and we hope you keep listening and we want to keep it fresh for you. We want to keep it live. So if you guys got any suggestions or any ideas for us, feel free to let us know. You can hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, all that good shit. You guys know, I shouldn't even be telling you guys this. You guys know, but yeah, maybe even send us a text, you know, if you want to take the easy way out. So
I ain't giving him my goddamn cell phone number.
Not yet, at least, unless there's some of those ladies out there.
Hey, if you haven't yet, please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook in Earful and Emerald City. Twitter, Earful and East City. Check us out. You know, both of us are highly active on both accounts. So,
unfortunately.
Yeah, this guy's like anti-social media. So,
I fucking hate it. I fucking hate it.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Goddamn. But yeah, hey, thanks for listening to us, guys. For my man Shoddy, I'm Slim. Appreciate you guys listening, and we will talk to you next week. See ya.
We out.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on an Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.